Hi, everybody. It's Jim Bakei. Podcast is Be You. The world will adjust. As the craziest continues and the truckers continue, it just, you know, Katie, when I reflect back on all the podcasts that we've done, and I think about all the times that I said, you know, we're in crazy times. And, you know, I know I anticipate times to get crazier and crazier, but this shit just keeps getting weirder and more bizarre. And I think at the core of it all is this feeling by people that they've just had enough. It goes back to one of my early ones, you know, I'm mad as hell and I'm just not going to take it anymore. So as I've said to people, you know, like it's tough. I know it's tough out there. I know people are having difficulties. Take some deep breaths, get some help. Talk to people. Don't talk to people to get yourself riled up. Talk to people that can just tell you that we just need some patience. You know, recently I was talking to a few people that I've been coaching. Something came up that I thought was kind of important to sort of share with people. I always talk about changing a career. I always talk about, you know, standing up for yourself. But what happens when you've hit a bump in the road in your career? It's not fatal, but it's a bump in the road. For whatever reason, you got overlooked. They didn't think you were quite ready. And I've been working with someone recently who, you know, your immediate reaction is massive disappointment. I mean, I've had it on a couple of occasions in my career. Early on, it happened to me. And I tried to make heads or tails of it. I tried to make sense of it. But I, you know, the emotional aspect of not getting picked was just too great. And I couldn't sort of get myself on the right path to sort of say, okay, what is it that I'm going to do about this? What's my next move? Because everybody's watching, right? Everybody's watching how you handle it, right? How do you handle the adversity of not getting picked? All of a sudden, you may have had an allegiance. You may have had your lips attached to the person's butt in front of you, and that's all gone. And there's this feeling of being adrift. There's a feeling of embarrassment. And I think once you get over the emotion of getting hurt, because I don't think it's any different than not getting picked to go to the prom or on a date or something like that. Nobody likes to not be picked. But there's plenty of times in life that you're not picked, and how do you handle it really makes a difference. It makes a difference for you personally, and it makes a difference for people around you and how they see you. Because, you know, the natural tendency of the majority of the population is they prefer to see you suffer as opposed to feel badly for you because somebody's got some axe to grind somehow. So I'm not sure I handled it particularly well, but I think I'm going to give you some advice because it's happened to me a bunch of times and I've seen other people that it's happened to. And I've always admired how they handled it. And I think the most important thing to do is first and foremost is to acknowledge that, yeah, I didn't get picked. That doesn't necessarily mean that I agree with why I didn't get picked, but I'm going to satisfy myself that I understand why they didn't pick me. I think the second thing to do is stop fucking talking about it. Stop talking to all kinds of people. Stop telling people, because all you're doing is creating a whirlwind of noise around yourself. You know, how is Jim? Is he okay? Is he going to leave? Is he going to stay? And the fact of the matter is, the new people in charge don't want to hear that. They want to know that if you're going to leave, you're going to leave. And if you're going to stay, you're going to get over this. Your ego's bruised, but you're going to get over this. And you're going to be a full contributor to the team. Hard to do because, you know, misery loves company. Stop, stop, stop. There is no upside for you whatsoever to do that. The second thing to do is to go and have a conversation and say, okay, I'm over it emotionally, and I've accepted the fact that you've made the decision based upon the facts at hand. What I would like to know is, do I have a shot going forward, or is this the message that that opportunity doesn't exist for me? And if I do have a shot going forward, what's required in order to do that? And the reason I want you to ask that question is not so you can go away and pretzel yourself and be someone else, but I want you to know whether what they're asking of you is not what you're prepared to give. Because it is, then that's okay. If it's a misunderstanding, they don't fully appreciate it, that's okay. But if they're liking you to be 6'2" when you're 5'1", that's not okay. And that will help you accelerate your thinking about, I'm not going to get this opportunity here. I need to seek opportunity elsewhere. As opposed to, you know, what happens in these things, you know, you had these weaknesses, you know, if you round those out, really, reality is you probably had those weaknesses all of your life and you're not going to round them out. So if that's what their lens is to see you for future potential, then it's time you think about doing something different or you think about doing it somewhere else differently. And then the last thing is create a soundbite. So when someone said, so how's it going? You know, well, you know, not very happy, you know, but what are you going to do? No. Just create a soundbite. I am disappointed, but I've gotten over my initial disappointment and I'm going to put my head down and I'm going to see if I can make this work. And if it works, it's great. And if it doesn't, I'll figure out what I'm going to do from that point on. And friend or foe, give them the same soundbite. Be consistent about it. Because the thing about organizations and the thing about complaining and sound bites is they reverberate throughout the place, right? Someone tells someone, and it doesn't matter if you say to someone, you know, it's just between you and me. There's something about having information that everybody likes to share. It makes them feel like they're in the know. Don't let them steal your sound bite. Give them the sound bite that you want them to repeat. Give them the sound bite that you want out there in the public forum. Give them the sound bite that serves you best. And the one that serves you best is the one that belongs to you. So just a reminder, get over it, get the facts, and move on and stop talking to me. So the second thing that I want to talk about today is I want to talk about perspective with opportunities. One of the things I've noticed lately, and I've been doing a lot of work on the recruiting side in addition to my coaching side. And one of the things that I've noticed is I'm stunned at when people have these great opportunities and they immediately diverge themselves to the dark side of the opportunity, immediately go to the side of, you know, what could go wrong, this or that, you know, really, is this too risky? And I'm not talking about analytical stuff. I'm just talking about natural emotional aspects of it. Now, as all of you probably know, like I am an eternal optimist, right? I look at everything through a lens of optimism and opportunity and what's the spillover from doing everything in positive sense. It doesn't mean that I ignore the negative side of the potential of what could happen. But fundamentally, my first view of everything is how can I make this work and how can I make it work even better and bigger than what it initially looks at? It's probably people's personalities and everything else. But when you're faced with one of those opportunities to look at a situation, it could be a job. It could be at buying a company. It could be at hiring a team of people. It could be anything that forces you to have to analyze, forces you to think about, and forces you to make an evaluation. And I think that if you can start with, let's start with the benefits of this opportunity before me. How can I take those benefits and actually make them even bigger than they are? If I actually do this, are the benefits far greater than what they originally appear to be? I would say in most cases, the likelihood is probably yes. Because if you actually think about it, whenever we do something and it's got a positive tone to it, we always find ourselves in a situation that halfway through it, we go, well, actually, if I thought it was going to work out this well, I would have done more of it, right? It's like buying a stock or all kinds of things in our lives. We're pleasantly surprised that it works out even better than we anticipated it to work out. And is that because we just underestimated the potential, or because we don't actually believe it could work out better than we estimated it to work out? And more often than not, not always, but more often than not, we overestimate at how badly things could turn out. And it never turns out to be as badly as we think it does. When it does turn out badly, it turns out really badly. But most of the time, it's never as bad as we think about it. So then we have to step back to ourselves and say, okay, so it must be something in our analysis. It must be something about the way we think about it that makes us overestimate how bad it could be and underestimate how good it could be. So as you start to look at opportunities, I want you to start to try to skew your vision towards the opportunity side and really, really push yourself to think, this is a great opportunity. And an example I used to you is, you know, when I meet a couple of people and they say, you know, a few of us would like to move, I immediately think, well, are there more? Could we move 5 people? Could we move 10 people? Can I put a package together? Can I get even bigger than that? You know, in my history, I've moved a number of teams. I moved 18 people once, and I moved 14 people another time, and smaller teams of half a dozen. And they never started out that way. But they turned out that way because I saw the potential of this little kernel of corn that was helping me just sort of go, well, you know, maybe we could make it bigger. Maybe we could do this. Maybe we could do that. As opposed to, I think the general perception of people is, well, hang on a second, what could go wrong, right? So everybody always says, always look at the downside. Yeah, look at the downside, but don't dwell on the downside. Let your imagination go. Let your creativity go. Let your thinking explode to think, how great an opportunity could this be? Because I think if you actually spend your time thinking that way, you'll actually come to a quicker realization whether it is a greater opportunity or it's not, or whether it's a 5 out of 10 as opposed to an 8 or 10 out of 10. Always think about it in potential. Always think about it in what could we possibly get more than we're getting. So lastly, I want to talk about the last 3 people that I've had on my show, Michelle, Nick, and Sean. They've been really enjoyable. I hope you've enjoyed them. They're all a little different, but all at the core the same. If you take the theme and the message, it's all about people. It's all about leveraging people. It's all about ideas. It's all about guts. It's all about thinking differently. And what I love about all of them is they're all outspoken. They're not afraid. And what I've realized more and more and more is I'm not afraid, but, you know, but actually that's not true. There are times when I'm afraid too, to be perfectly honest with you. There are times when I'm afraid, but I have to suck it up and go, there's nothing to be afraid of. You might not get the answer you want. That's okay. But you still, sometimes you want the answer you want. So I want you to, and I don't know how to do this other than keep repeating it. I want you to stare into the face of your fears. I want you to stare into the face of the decisions you have to make. And I want you to truly believe that either way, you're going to be better off, whether the decision you're seeking is in favor or it's not in your favor. Because even if it's not in your favor, you're better off to know. And I don't think that matters whether it's relationships. I don't think that matters whether it's your job. I don't think it matters in any particular case. We're all afraid to ask the question. There's been lots of articles about, you know, Sean wrote an article about people, you know, being afraid to ask for raises and stuff like that. Can you imagine that? Afraid to ask for a raise, afraid to talk about compensation. You know, I always tell the story about my kids, you know, that when they go to an interview and somebody says to them, you know, they say, what's the compensation? And they say, you know, 75 to 100,000. My kids say, I'll take the 100. I'll take the 100. And they go, well, and then they say, well, how do you determine whether it's 75 or 100? And the fact of the matter is, when a person says it's 75 to 100, they don't know how they're going to determine. But I can guarantee you, If they think they can get you for 75, they will. And if they really need you and want you, they'll pay you the 100. So you might as well start at 100. Stand up for yourself. Don't be afraid. Telling you to not be afraid is not going to overcome your fears. The only thing that's going to overcome your fears is yourself. Brace yourself. It's uncomfortable. Makes your stomach wheezy. It does everything, but you'll feel so much better afterwards. The first time is the hardest. The second time it gets a little less hard. Third time, even easier. And it goes on and on and on. And then you become somebody like me that always asks the hard question because I have to know. So if you have a question you need the answer for, ask it. You'll be better off. Podcast is Be You. The world will adjust. Have a great week, everybody.